Hi, this is Norm Augustinus. I'm sorry I missed your call. After tone, leave your name and number. I'll get back to you.
Hi, Norm. I hope you get this telephone message. Norm, I want to tell you a story. When I was a teenager, my parents entered me into a fishing contest sponsored by my high school. The competition that I was entered into was for girls only. Of course, I was one of the girls selected to participate in the competition. For the event, the chlorinated water in our high school pool was pumped out, and in its place 50,000 gallons of lake water was pumped into our school's in-ground pool. Whatever fish that got inadvertently pumped out of the lake ended up in my high school pool. Those would be the fish that the contestants would fish for. Whoever caught the biggest fish would receive a trophy and a grand prize of $150. In the pool room, there were bleachers situated around the pool where up to 500 observers could sit and watch the competition. Norm, on the day of the competition, all 10 girls went to their assigned positions around the pool. Each participant was given a fishing pole and a cardboard box full of worms. The fishing pole had a 12-inch long cork-covered handle. The competition officials had set up the poles in advance. Each fishing pole was ready to use and came pre-rigged with fishing lines, hooks, and sinkers. Norm, it was hot and humid in our school's pool room, so I wore only a halter top and hot pants, without panties. At that time, I had enormous jugs and an ass to die for. You're only young once, right? The rules were simple. Pull a fish from the pool without any outside help. Using the worms provided. You could sit on the fold-up chair that was provided, or stand, and the contestant wasn't allowed to talk to anyone sitting in the bleachers. Norm, when the whistle was blown, worms were put onto hooks, and the girls threw their lines into the water. I was going to win. I always know that I am going to win. Unfortunately, I didn't win. Let me explain. While I was sitting on the fold-up chair waiting for a fish to strike my hook, a drone came through an open window in the pool room. When the drone came into the pool room, it flew to where I was sitting, and it hovered directly in front of me. As it hovered, a 12-inch in diameter hypno disc started spinning. As the hypno disc rotated, a man's voice blared from the audio speaker that had been mounted to the hovering drone. The voice coming out of the speaker said, "You are getting sleepy, whore.
You feel yourself getting more and more relaxed. When I count down from five to one,
you will be a fully hypnotized slut. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You are now under my control. You are at this moment a sexually hungry whore. You must do what I tell you to do because you are hypnotized. I want you to pull off your hot pants and plunge the handle of the fishing pole deep into your swollen wet pussy. Move the handle of the fishing pole in and out of your tight cunt again and again until you come not once but hundreds of times. While you are coming, I want you to yank off your halter top and squeeze the nipples that are sprouting from the peaks of your enormous perspiring tits."
Norm, I didn't understand what was happening. One minute I was fishing and the next minute I was coming. But how? Why? While I moaned, and while I came, the audience members sitting in the bleachers in the pool room grew silent. I dicked myself with the fishing pole handle until pieces of the cork handle fell out of my pussy and onto the pool room floor. I jutted my hips back and forth. My eyes were rolled back, and my mouth was slack-jawed. I even ate the worms. I wanted meat, and I wanted to fuck the handle of my fishing pole forever and ever. Norm, just as I was experiencing a powerful multiple orgasm, I heard a gunshot, and then I passed out. When I regained consciousness, an off-duty police officer said that he had been sitting in the bleachers enjoying the fishing competition. He told me that he wanted to save me further embarrassment, so he shot the hypno disc cum drone to pieces using a .38 special that was strapped to his ankle.
I got super horny watching you fuck that fishing pole. I had to stop that flying thing, so I blew it away with my ankle gun. 3 years ago, one of my best friends got shot in the head by a police officer while my friend was beating his meat in his car. The police officer thought he was strangling someone. My friend is totally brain dead now. Sometimes I visit him at the home while he's inside his iron lung machine. I show my friend naked pictures of women's twisted faces as they take oversized dicks. It's super easy to show him the pictures. I just lay the photographs onto the glass porthole built into the top of the iron lung machine. Here's a photograph of my friend getting his shit sucked out of his asshole. The black woman holding onto the hose just beat the fuck out of the two white women that delivers the 50-gallon drums of liquid X-Lax to the home. Would you mind if I kept the pieces of cork that fell out of your pussy?
The cum drone was filled with gears, cameras, motors, batteries, and circuit boards. When my father picked me up at the hospital, he pressed the door and window lock button, and then he knocked me unconscious using his balled up right hand. It was an awful moment. I knew what I was doing was odd, but I was deeply under the spell of the hypnodisc cum drone. I couldn't stop myself. I walked bow-legged for a month after that incident. They never caught the perp that gave me the hypnotic suggestion through the drone speaker. Norm, I am telling you this story in the hopes that it helps your female listeners. Girls, if ever you are entered into a fishing competition at your school, be careful. You may have a one-on-one encounter with a spinning hypno disc cum drone. It's possible you'll drive the handle of your fishing pole deep into your greedy cunt and not know why. It happened to me. Now I must go. Norm, I call all the time, but you never phone me back. What gives? Can you please excuse me? I want to smoke some good shit while I massage my clitoris with my pointer finger and middle finger while lying atop my deceased grandmother's old spring mattress. Bye.
End of messages.
He wishes he could have killed his grandmother. His mother says everything he touches turns to shit. He's been to jail, spent 24 hours in a mental institution, and unsuccessfully tried to kill himself 3 times. And now, live via the internet, Norm Augustinus.
So I was all set to do this recording, and I was in another room cleaning the bed sheets up because I was fucking all night, and that's the truth, honest to God. And then I suddenly hear beating at the door, and I think, oh my God, they're here. They're here, they're at the door, they're here to take your correspondent Norm Augustinus away. I really believe that. They're here, they've come. I heard a beep, deep pounding in the door as I was changing my cum sheets, my jism sheets off the bed from somebody I fucked all night long. Now, they say that. Chicks say that. I want to go all night long. There is no all night long. But I was damn near fucking all night long. I took intermissions. I didn't even blow my load. I just started to blow, stopped, and I did it that by thinking the ugliest bitch I ever met, and she was in the 8th grade. Her name was, first name was Doris and Twilly. Doris Twilly, everybody called her Tilly. And I was always thinking of her when I'm fucking, if I want to hold my load back. And then I heard a beating at the door. So the beating at the door, I dropped the sheets. I actually didn't drop the sheets. I threw the sheets under the bed because I figured the fucking house was going to be searched. Someone's going to go through it. I thought someone had turned me in. Somebody, I don't know where, the far left spectrum, something like that. And I thought I'd been turned in. So I'm running to the door. When I'm running to the door, I slipped on something on the floor and it looked like jelly. And it makes sense because I have jelly every day with bagels. I slipped on that shit, pushed my head into the counter area below the counter of the sink where you would have the build below it, you know, the wall below it. And I jammed my neck. I mean, I'm telling you right now, man, I got my neck jammed for this fucking knocking at the door, and the knocking at the door wasn't anything. It was a belated woodpecker, and I saw the fucker fly away. This guy's come here on and off for about 6 months, and I'm going to finish him off. I'm not exaggerating. I don't want to be frightened to death by pileated or pileated woodpecker. They're woodpeckers that are always pecking, looking for insects in trees. He doesn't know the house ain't a tree. They don't have the ability in their mind. He doesn't think it. He thinks it's a big, wide tree. There's got to be an insect in it. And there are insects in it. Whenever I'm in here fucking somebody and they got fucking crabs or something, he's not that far off, is he? He'd love crabs, wouldn't he? He'd love to pick them off some chick's fucking bush or something like that. It wasn't a knocking at the door. They weren't here to take your correspondent away. And it was a pileated woodpecker. But I jammed my neck, I slipped in jelly, I threw the cum sheets under the fucking bed, all this in seconds, and I'm almost worn out. I just turned this fucking thing on, Buckstick, and I'm already almost dead, and I'm turning my neck now here. Can you hear it in the microphone as I'm turning it? I jammed my goddamn neck. What are there, 5 vertebrae in there, 6 vertebrae in your neck area? I jammed it. I went sliding across it. I always let my dick air out when I'm done fucking all night long, which they like to hear. I always fucking I don't put my pants back on, my underpants, because I got to air my cock out. You got your cock sunk inside a fuck hole for hours upon hours upon hours. You know your dick is porous? All that jism, all her fucking fluids, all the juices go into the pores of your cock. It jams it up. It jits it heavy. When you're done fucking, they've proven this. It's like your dick weighs a 16th of a pound more than it didn't weigh before you start fucking because all the pores of your cock are all plugged up with goddamn jism from her fuckhole. Honest to God, it's like when you die. When you die, they say like an 1/8 of a pound leaves your body. That's supposed to be your spirit. A spirit that weighs an 1/8 of a pound? He takes up all that goddamn space? It doesn't sound very perfected to me, does it to you? So I had to throw my cum sheets under the bed. I ran to the door because they were beating on the door. The cum sheets went under the bed. I slipped on the goddamn jelly. I jammed my head. I can feel my neck. I felt it when I jammed it. Like this jamming sound. Like something didn't sound right. And I went to the door and there was nobody at the door. I went out the house. I walked all the way around the house. There's nobody around me for fucking 75 miles. Honest to God. That's how rural I am, upper northern Michigan. I live on 100 acres. I walked all over their house. Then I thought, is it some chick that's pissed at me? Is it some angry woman mad at me? I pulled out too soon. I did this. I did that. Why didn't I do this? Why aren't I paying for that? Is it some bitch like that? No, it's nothing like that. I saw the pileated woodpecker fly the fuck away, man. You wouldn't hear that in your neighborhood. You wouldn't have that problem in your neighborhood. Why? Because you're not fucking 6 feet from your goddamn neighbor, whoever your neighbor is. They're not the neighbors you remember. You knew everybody for 6 blocks around your house. Now they're all from goddamn Iraq. That's your neighbors. There they are. Take your time loving them. Take your time whenever they say paying for them. There they are. Now you know nothing. Now you just patrol window to window like I do, waiting for everything to fucking drop. That's what you do in your little brick ranch with your garage, your one fucking car door garage, your one car garage. I think I'll walk back out there and look at my Snap-on tool set. I never thought I could have something so goddamn beautiful, man. That's what I did. That's what you do. That's what all real American men do. I never thought I'd have that. Look at my snowblower. It's ready to go. I got it on for half price. You can't run around your house like I do, looking for whoever's out there. I don't know who's out there. The authorities of some kind out there. I was ready to go. I got all kinds of problems here, too. I got a fucking 55-gallon wooden barrel that I stock, put all these goddamn guns and all these bullets in. I keep it ready. I'm ready to go, man. I'm going out with both hands fucking filled up with the fucking iron, man. So, I got over that just now. I'm getting over it. I'm venting it out. You've helped me vent it out. Thank you so very much. The slippering on the jelly. Now, the jelly is shit. You ever have jelly that's $1 a jar? It's like nothing but pectin. It's just like a pure jar of rubber cement of glue. You can't really get any real jelly. It's just a ball of goddamn sticky glue that sticks on everything. Your fingers, your shirt, your tie, whatever you wear, it's everywhere on you. That's how cheap this fucking jar of jelly is. It almost got me killed. I look like that. Try to imagine that. A man with a dick like mine, 15.5 pounds, can't afford to drag his cock for a distance of 5 or 6 feet as he slides across the fucking linoleum floor, because the friction burns alone on top of my meat would be tremendous, and I feel them. It would be overwhelming. It's too much. Too quick. That's what they say. I'd get a fucking friction burn on my fucking cannoli in my pants as I was going across it because I don't wear underwear. And to throw the sheets under. What am I, 6 years old? I better throw the sheets under the bed. Someone will see the cum stains. Who cares? That's all people are doing is fucking. Man, why can't you stop fucking? Why? It's all people do is fuck from morning till night. It's all chicks do is play with their cunt from morning till night. There's never nothing gone by more than 15 minutes where they haven't come or played sticky finger or stink finger with himself. And you want one. I'll pick you up at 8 o'clock. I'll pick you up at 8 o'clock, Madison, Taylor, Ripley. Whatever fucked up unisex name they have. That's going to make them empowered and make them reach to the, go to the top, man. People fucking, long time ago, cave days, they didn't have fucking names. And there were leaders. They didn't have any goddamn power names. There were leaders who were top of the troop people. There was a hierarchy. Man, it was bad. Running around the house looking for the cops with my meat out. And I can do that. I can do that, man. Because I'm on 100 acres in the middle of fucking nowhere. If someone comes here, it has to be something bad. Get it? That's why when I heard the door knocking, I figured it was something bad. I thought they were here to take me out, pull me out of here, take my shit, confiscate my recording, my fucking tape recorder. I do this on a cassette player. I don't know if I've told you that. I record it on a cassette player, then I transfer it over to MP3. It's all authentic shit, man. Honest to God. You don't believe me? Come on over here one day. So long as you're not a mountain of fat if you're a chick. A big mountain of pus. Some thunderous whore shaking around your big, sickly cottage cheese big rump. A future diabetic that I gotta pay for. I don't want to pay for your diabetes, you fat whore. I don't want to pay for your fucking twisted mind, you ugly cunt. I don't want nothing like that. But if you're size 3 or 5 and you've got red hair and very pale skin, now I'm interested in you. Now I'm seeing something angelic, something beautiful, something that came to upper northern Michigan and the upper peninsula with her family 150 years ago. There she is. Look at this pure goddamn untouched thing. Well, you got to be careful because redheads stink. They have a slight odor. It's true. I've read this again and again all over the place. They have an odor, redheads. When you're fucking them, when you're on top of them, when she's transferring her fucking toenail fungus onto you as you're fucking in a missionary position. She's on the bottom, you're on top, she's got toenail fungus, she's fucked since she was 14 years old, and that toenail fungus readily jumps off her toes onto your toes, man. And now you've got toenail fungus. In 25 years, your toenails will be fucking an inch thick and they'll be yellow and you'll never get rid of it. That's the gift she gave you. There it is. There's the gift she gave you. Plus her asking for $500 for an abortion. This is a gift you've got when you're fucking. That's why when you're fucking, you don't want that problem. You don't want her to say, you're going to pay for my toenail fungus treatment when she's 3 marriages into somebody else and she calls you up grifting from one man to the next and she wants you to pay for her toenail fungus. And that treatment's like $3,000, $4,000, maybe more. She'll lie, of course. That's why when I fuck, man, I always wrap saran wrap and shit around my toenails. I also came up with an invention years ago. I got this shit that goes on my toenails and it's just like a mirror. So that when the toenail fungus sees itself in the mirrors on your toenails, the toenail fungus thinks it's just it and it doesn't transfer. There's no way to jump ship. It says, wow, that's nothing. That's not new toenails. She's not getting railed by somebody with a monstrous cock. It's nothing like that. It's just my image I'm seeing. The guy must have an amputation, a double amputation. Both his legs are gone. And I'm seeing myself, this is the toenails talking, in the mirrors above her bed. No reason to jump ship. Toenail fungus, false alarm. I don't can't transfer myself to something else. I came up with that years and years ago. Why? Because I have that kind of a mind. I'm an original thinker, something that they tell you that they embrace in this country that they do not embrace any way, any shape, and any form ever. They don't embrace it. It's all bullshit. It's all PR. If they were all original thinkers, how the fuck would anything get done? That's what they think. Man, This wasn't going to be the way I was going to start this recording. But because I'm feeling my cock with a severe burn on it, because I thought the goddamn fuzz was here, because I thought that I had to hide my cum sheets, I'm not ever going to hide my cum sheets. Not ever, ever, ever. In fact, I cut the stains out on cum sheets and I put a hole in it. You ever see those paper things you can hold in your hand and you can put holes into the paper? You're going to put it in a notebook or something? I cut out my cum stains, I put holes in it, and then I run this fucking thing through this big chain I have, and I collect all the cum stains, and I take a fine tip marker, black marker, and I write on it when I was fucking and who I was fucking, and I can go back and look at it. You know what the problem with that is? If there's stains from her, they're unbelievably bad. You have to seal a whole fucking thing up in an airtight zipperless bag. I used to have this thing you could put all my cum stains that I had, that I have on these cutout pieces of fucking sheets, I used to put it in this bag that you connect to a vacuum, and it would suck all the goddamn air out, then you would seal it, and everything was sealed airtight inside this bag, and you couldn't smell the pussy, and it was wonderful. Well, I've left that out a few times, and wherever I go, all I do is smell pussy. Pussy, 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 pussy. Can you imagine how goddamn horny you must be to be able to ignore the stench of pussy like you can? You're nuts, man. You got a mental illness. When I smell shit, when I smell the odor of shit or pussy or fish, I run. That's a safety mechanism that God has given your brain. It says, hey, that smells like shit. That smells like pussy. That's bad pussy. Get out of there and you run fast as you can, even if you're wearing disco shoes and you tear the goddamn heels off your shoes trying to get away. You got to get out of there. It's a warning. Pussy smells like pussy is a warning to you. It means get out of there. What kind of a person are you that wants to smell pussy all the time and is searching for a woman and you'll even go broke or give her half your fucking income even though the pussy smells so goddamn bad? I read a post once by a woman. She says, my pussy stinks. Get over it. Grow up. Grow up? Your pussy stink, grow up, you grow up how? You can't ever grow up once you smell pussy. You'll be permanently mentally stunted like I was when I first smelled the stench of pussy long, long ago, man. That was a girl named Kim, and I was in her dad's GMC Jimmy. I don't know how old I was, barely old enough to drive, and she was driving, she borrowed the car. She set me up to try to fuck me. She wanted me to hump her. I didn't know that. I was so goddamn dumb. I was that dumb till I was 25 years old. I didn't know shit. She took me to GMC Jimmy. We went parking on these railroad tracks somewhere in Utica, Michigan. It might have been Shelby Township. I don't know. They've absorbed everything. Might have been that. I think it was Utica, Michigan. We were in a GMC Jimmy, and the moisture, the humidity on the walls of her dad's truck, from the windshield, the passenger side, the driver's side window, it was just dripping goddamn water from there because of her heavy fucking breathing. And that water, that humidity mixed with a stench of pussy was too much. It was too much closed in here. I couldn't breathe. And that's when she said it. That's when she said this, when she thought she had your correspondent in her goddamn clutches. She said this. Would you kiss me down there, Norman? Would you kiss me down there, Norman? That's what she said in the most beautiful way. And I couldn't resist. And I said, yes, but I never did. I never kissed her down there. What she was really saying, fuck stick, was, would you eat me out down there? Get down and eat out my fuck hole. The place where goddamn gallons of blood gushes out every month. The place where her abortions are pulled out of. The place where there's vaginal yeast infections. The place where there's herpes on the side of her fucking labias, her cunt lips. Would you eat me out down there, Norman? Yeah, sure, I'll do that. Just like going to Auschwitz, I'll go there too. I'll head to Auschwitz and I'll start eating those people out the same fucking way as they're dying. I'll go there. It's the same thing, man. That powerful. I said, yes, I'll go down there. I didn't never go down there. I didn't know how to go down there. I'm a tall dude. I'm 6'3" and 172 pounds. Now, I would have had to maneuver myself below and under the dashboard of the GMC Jimmy. At that time, they were all fucking metal. They weren't padded. I'd have to jam my body down there while she spread open her fucking wings, and I'd somehow maneuvered myself and was able to eat her out. Now, why would I do that? Why would anyone do that? Try to imagine that picture. Imagine that position. This is the fucking stuff people will do, and they don't know why. They'll ask themselves, why? Why'd I do that? They don't know why. Something shuts off in your head. There I am holding her thighs and eating her fucking pussy out, her cunt out, and there's her shithole ready to blast me too. There's her brown eye. There's her fucking pussy. Would you kiss me down there, Norman? I'll kiss you, man, like I used to kiss my Aunt Marge on a goddamn cheek. I'll kiss you in a different way if I feel comfortable with you. It depends how fucking gone I am on fucking lysergic acid. It depends how gone I am on fucking pecaning paralyzer, 97% THC. Then I might kiss you down there. I remember we opened the windows up on the GMC Jimmy whenever whatever happened. I didn't even know about her clitoris or her clit. I didn't have any idea what she did with the clit. All I kept doing was jamming my pointer finger in and out of her fucking hole like Joe Nerd. In and out, in and out. She didn't fucking feel anything with that. When we opened the windows, this is what I heard. Do you hear that? It was like it was hermetically sealed and it stunk of pussy and it's made a deep, deep fucking embed, an engram in my brain that I cannot shake, man. I've had all kinds of chicks. I've had a couple I really liked. I've had chicks come up there. They know that I have a problem with that. They'll scent their cunt with raspberry douche. They'll scent their cunt with pineapple. They'll scent their cunt with all kinds of fucking flavors, coconut and shit like that. One time a chick knew that I liked this fucking Hawaiian Tropic coconut suntanning oil. It was used to be big. I don't know if it is anymore. So she'd always flush out her cunt with fucking coconut stench and she coconut smell, and she tried to rig me on that, and I used to like it at first, but then I knew I was being conned, I was being tricked, I was being manipulated. That's all it is a big manipulation game of power and shit. I was being manipulated. I wasn't smelling coconut. I was smelling fucking pussy that somehow had overtaken the pussy, this goddamn coconut oil, this coconut suntanning oil. Each one in a battle to keep up the thing. The Hawaiian Tropic promised the stench of a fucking coconut, didn't it? But then her pussy guaranteed the stench of pussy. Now, how could the Hawaiian Tropic for long? It gave out. I got through to me. I understood what was going on. Because the battle between Hawaiian Tropic fucking douche and the battle between the stench of pussy, the pussy can overcome every time. I mean, it's been developed over a billion goddamn years since cave people. How the fuck do you think a couple of goddamn people in a fucking factory and people designing the stench can overcome that million years of evolution of stench? So I don't want to start on this. I don't want to go anywhere near this. But because I fell so hard when I hit the floor, and I really did, I fell fucking hard, so hard that I've got like these parts for sex machines downstairs in the basement, and I hang them on the rafters, and I hang them on the rafters as sort of a joke, but also I thought, I'll use these sex machine parts and create a super fucking machine of sex machine just created from these used parts, and I fell so hard that I heard them clanging like you had old frying pans that the Teflon was gone and burned out. Old frying pans that you kept for no real reason. You thought, someday I'm going to use those again. The Teflon's gone. You can't use them. You get cancer and all that. And I heard them rattle around when I hit the floor, when I slipped in the raspberry jelly, when I threw my cum sheets under the damn bed. Why would I throw my cum sheets under the bed? Is there something to be embarrassed there? Obviously, I have a problem in my mind. Don't let them see your cum sheets. They'll think you were doing something and they think you were fucking in here. Well, that's what people buy homes for, so they can fuck in here and do all kinds of horrible things that they don't tell you they do when they leave that front door, when they pull into the office in the morning. Don't let them see your cum sheets. Ball it up and throw it under there right now. Ball it up and throw it under there. Hurry up. Someone's at the door. It's the cumps. It's the fuzz. It's the federal people. It's goddamn game warden. I had the game warden here a dozen times, honest to God. And they have all kinds of authority because they're federal. And they have all kinds of shit they can do. Do you call and back up everything else? And I thought, they're here for me. They heard me talking about my Glock switch. 1,200 fucking rounds per minute. I think they're highly illegal. I'm all done, man. It's over. Game over? It's all over. I can't get a 55-gallon barrel drum filled with fucking handguns to the top. I can't get that out of here. I can't get rid of my Claymore mines that I just fucking painted white and shipped them out of Vietnam when I was in there, and I put dishes, I think I put China on the box and shipped it home to my parents' house. 18 months in fucking tour duty in Vietnam. I was a door gunner in a Huey helicopter, H-1. I was a door gunner. Of course I was. That's where the action was. That's where people lived and died. You were right on the goddamn edge, man. All you could do was learn about life in that instance. Reach down, I got a fucking bag of Fig Newtons, I got fucking another bag filled with fucking the goddamn candy bars filled to the top. What was that called, that Red Cross? Filled to the damn top. I had it made, man. It was unbelievable. 600 rounds a minute, and here we come. I've learned a lot. So let's kind of switch out of this. Let's switch away where I didn't want to go, though I'm still hurting. I somehow embarrassed myself. I mean, embarrassed myself. I've been fucking all night long. I was the master of my destiny. I was a real goddamn man. I was pounding away at the hungry torso of some bitch as her legs were pulled back and her knees were touching hers. Her eyes were rolled back and I was the master. I was really succeeding here. This was the jackpot that they keep selling in commercials on. Jackpot, I hit it now. Everything's supposed to fall in place except what? Except it doesn't, does it? It doesn't fall into place after that. She leaves there, cum covered. She leaves there and goes on to the next dick and the next dick and the next dick until she can't fuck anymore, which, according to what I've read, they never stop fucking. There's a pandemic going on of 80-year-old people, 90-year-old people in retirement homes, resting homes for old people, of them fucking. There's an epidemic. They just go room to room and they fuck. They pop some damn pill for your dick, which I don't need, and they fuck and fuck and fuck. They don't care about social disease. They don't care about pregnancy. That's all gone. That danger's gone. You're just in there fucking some old raisin with growth coming out of her that are posing as legs, like mold coming out of an old raisin, growing out. These old fucking legs, these old appendages. Look at her, man. I'm fucking. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Aren't I? Where's my reward? Where's my ribbon like I wanted when I was in fucking school? Where's my gold star for playing the piano, which I can, by the way, really well? I could play the piano at your house, or you could come over here and I'll play the piano for you, and I'll fuck you while you're bent over the keyboard. I'll fuck you from the rear, and all your cum will hit the keys, and then I'll drop the lid on your goddamn head, you ugly whore, you demanding skag. When I was a kid, they used to call it skag. They don't call them skags anymore. I think that's a slang term for coke or heroin, something like that. And then it went to hag. You ugly damn hag. So I want to talk about something else here. And it has something to do with one of the weirdest things that I've ever had happen to me. The weirdest. Now, I go out all the time in the woods because I live on 100 acres. Now, behind me are 18 million acres of woods that go all the way to the Upper Peninsula. It's even denser there of woods. It's the greatest place you could ever imagine. If you've got a mind like your correspondent, Norm Augustinus, if you've got that mind and you can be around something like this, you need this. I mean, just on one tree, the story of one tree. I try to wedge myself between two trees. And as I'm wedging myself between the trees because the trees are so close together, I'm already in heaven. I'm elated because I'm thinking, look at these trees. They grew up. They're touching almost. I can just barely jam my body through. What an experience I'm having. I never would have met either of these trees. How many things are living on the bark of the trees that I just went past? Right there is an endless amount of material for stories, but nobody will ever tell it. All these damn trees all the way to the Upper Peninsula. I love walking in the trees. I love looking at the soil. I'll dig the soil out. And I look for worms and how big they are. I'm always panning for fucking gold in the rivers and streams up here. And I've made some good money, honest to God. And I always carry the metal detector with me whenever I go out on my Argo Frontier. The Argo Frontier is an 18-horsepower, six-wheel machine with big balloon tires and giant flaps that are attached to the tires so it can go in water, rivers, streams, bogs, quicksand, no problem. And it's got two bench seats on it. And it's the greatest machine you ever saw. When I first inherited it, when it was first really given to me for nothing, they thought it was a piece of shit. They thought it was junk, man. But they didn't know who they were dealing with regards to your correspondent. They didn't know the talents, the power, the mind power, the creativeness, how deep I've developed my mind into other areas that people shut off when they're fucking 14 years old. It's all gone for them. That'll never shut it off. All I do is open that door, and I open the door every time I talk to you. I open it, I walk in, and there I am in the place that I love the most. There I am, and you benefit, because it's endless. When these recordings stop coming, it means I've died. It means I'm gone. Now, if I die, and I'm gone, and then someone posts something on my site that's Norm's past or something like that, understand that I'm hoping you help bury me. This should be a piece of cake. I mean, if you're some black dude, you've killed some white guy, you can collect $14 million from fucking GoFundMe or something like that. I mean, I couldn't collect enough for a fucking cheap wooden casket from you. That's what I'm hoping happens with you. But I don't think I'm going to die. Not for a long, long fucking time. And when I'm in a hospital bed getting rammed out by some big goddamn black woman wearing rubber gloves who hates my guts and can take out all her life, the contempt, the pain, the anguish, the financial woes, when she can take it out of my shithole wearing that glove, jamming me from the rear because I'm constipated, I don't know, then I guess I am gone. But I still hope somebody would bring me in my tape recorder so I can make these recordings, especially for fucking you, man. So, I got my Argo Frontier, as I was saying. 18 horsepower, 6 wheels, 2 bench seats. The whole top of the Argo Frontier is just a fiberglass cast. It's beautiful. Then they paint it, they enamel paint it, they bake it on. 2 seats, bench seats that are permanently there. 2 silver handles that come up out of the floor, and you can move them around to move the Argo Frontier around. 18 horsepower engine, which I always and automatically do, is I bore out the pistons. I bore out the piston, the cylinder walls. I put in bigger piston rings. I always bore it out and change the carburetor and make it more powerful. And I always add nitrous oxide. Now, I didn't know shit about nitrous oxide with regards to cars years ago. I didn't know jack. I learned it, I don't know what year, somewhere in my 20s. And I learned it because people were getting high and they were fucking from nitrous oxide. They were fucking. I had a friend that fucked when she had nitrous oxide. In one of her arms, she'd have the tank around her arm as she was taking a dick, and she'd be breathing in the nitrous oxide. Like, the dick ain't enough. I mean, it's just not enough, is it? 10 inches, 2 inches round, going in and out of your fuck hole, or going in and out of your asshole, it's just not enough. She had to clutch onto. Her arm was wrapped around a 25-gallon tank, cubic centimeters of tank, wrapped under her arm, and the hose going up and the mask around her fucking face as she was taking dick with nitrous oxide. And I remember saying to the guy, really? You can get, it's really enhances sex? He said, yeah, unless you inhale it straight. Then you die while you're taking the dick. Then you die while she's taking the dick, or you're getting fucked, or she's on top of you and you're gassing yourself. It has to be mixed just fucking right. They also use it for pulling teeth and all that. Has to be mixed just goddamn right. I remember once I got my teeth worked on and I was extremely attractive, like I am now. Honest to God, I was. And I woke up and my zipper was down, and I remember making a conscious note of my zipper being up, and I'll tell you what I did. I took a safety pin and I put it through the top of the zipper. There's always a hole in it. And I put that safety pin in my fucking pants so they couldn't see it and put the flap over so that if anybody went with near my dick, I'd know it when I was unconscious. You know that safety pin was undone? Honest to God. They didn't know the safety pin was there. They unzipped it. They did the safety pin, or it broke loose or came free. Somebody played with my cock when I was a kid and I was on nitrous oxide. I had learned about it then, didn't even know what it was. I thought the guy was a professional. He's working. Nitrous oxide, chemicals, teeth, amalgam, silver amalgam, gold fillings, and up and up, and a nurse in there helping her, all kinds of shit. And then I found out later, man, that's all a lie. I mean, everything you see is a goddamn lie, scripted by God knows who. It's just an all-out fucking lie. Fuck all, man. That's what it is. So I learned about it then. Nitrous oxide. I hooked up. Now, there's an evolution of how I done it. I hooked it up to the Argo Frontier so I can get quick burst. And why do I want quick burst? Because we have brown bear up here. We used to have black bear, too, and we had grizzlies, too. Now, someone told me grizzlies had somehow come back in Upper Michigan or in the Upper Peninsula because they were being protected and watched over more, and somehow some have come in from other places. So I need to make a quick getaway. Or I was out there fucking. I one time run some people over. I killed them, and they were in a little tiny tent. I think I told you that story. When I went back to the tent after I ran them over because I was wasted, they were in a little pup tent, she still was clutching onto the guy's cock. There's the control. There it is. She's got her hand on a stick shift, and she's controlling him, took him away from all his fucking friends, all his man friends, rewrote everything to him, was controlling him through his cock, and they both ended up dead. But she was still clutching onto his cock inside the tent when I ran them over in my Argo Frontier 18 horsepower, 6-wheel ATV machine. They don't sell them anymore. You can look it up. Go look it up. But I got it for free, and I turned it into a gem. I turned it into a masterpiece. Don't ever let a chick get a hold of you like that. Always give her 80% and save the 20% as a fucking life preserver for you. You need that 20% so you can blow the airbag, so you can throw the fucking life jacket, you can throw the life preserver, whatever it is, into the water and pull yourself out of there just in time before you're fucking mentally gone. 80-20, 80-20. Always remember that. You give them 100%, you're as good as dead, fuckstick. It's a slow death, and I guarantee you're going there. 80-20. So I got the Argo Frontier. I got it all fired up. And I got it all fired up. This is what I'm talking about. This is where I want to start. I got it all fired up because it's loaded down. It's all set to go out with a big adventure with me. Now, what am I going to do when I went out in this day? This is what I always think. Am I going to harvest pussy fart bubbles? Am I going to pan for gold? Will I be unearthing pussy scalps? Will I be looking for the ivory-billed woodpecker? $50,000 reward? Am I going to go metal detecting? Am I going to look for full fucking Indian arrows? Right down to the quill, right down to the tip that could be stuck into a tree that were $10,000. Am I? Am I going to be looking for fucking bullets like the 52 caliber Gardner bullet, Gardner explosive musket ball bullet? It's so rare the fucking thing's worth like $10,000-$20,000, just one bullet. It's unlimited what I can do. Am I going to do any of that shit? I don't know. I load up my Argo Frontier. I put in my thermos that's filled with fucking peppermint schnapps and fucking coffee, or whatever I want to put in, peppermint coffee, peppermint schnapps and coffee, or do I have my bourbon bottle? Do I have my Glock? Do I have my fucking Luger? Do I have my bullets? Do I have my Chinese throwing stars? Do I have enough fucking dope, my Pinconning paralyzer? Do I have enough of that? Do I have enough zigzag rolling papers? I have all this shit. Do I have a hatchet that I take? Who knows what I need it? And I think, whatever the day has for me, it's there, it's open to me. I put my arms out and I say, I am going to put myself out there. I'm open to anything and everything. Thank you for this day. What's the Christian Bible say? This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad. Thank you. I'm going to go out there. Something's going to happen. I don't know what, because I'm so optimistic, because I'm so hopeful, because there's absolutely no doubt something will happen amazing, and it does all the time. So I load up the Argo Frontier. I put on my Superman cape that the chick made for me in Manhattan when I was living in New York City. She made a beautiful Superman cape. I mean, she really tried. I have to be honest with you. I have to slow down here and be honest and be sincere. She really put out a good go. She was kind of a Dolly Bird, and a Dolly Bird is sort of like a bimbo. She was like a Dolly Bird, and that's like a dolly. And in UK, they call women birds. So she was like a Dolly Bird, a dummy who looked really good. But she really put out her best effort. I'll send them this cape and tell him he's my Superman. I'll make it by hand and make it especially special. I'll send him his ultralight aircraft. And she took that thing apart. It was the most packed thing I'd ever seen, just beautifully packed. She took the whole ultralight aircraft apart and shipped it to me like a master. I remember writing her at least a dozen times saying, did you really take that apart and wrap those and ship it? She said, yes, I did. I did all that. It was the most beautiful job you ever saw. She wanted to be with your correspondent, and she tried. She really put out. She tried to live somewhere in the sphere in my mind like I live. She tried to enter that sphere, but she was unable to do that because I don't open it up for everybody, and they're not allowed in. You have to be a special type of person to get into that fucking sphere, that realm, that atmosphere. She tried with everything she could. She couldn't get in. Now she's married to some dude. He ain't Norm Augustinus. He's never going to be Norm Augustinus. Sure, he's going to cock, but he's got some kind of power to earn money. And she figured, I'll just sublimate everything else for the fucking paycheck. I guess this is it. Well, that's it. Bitch, you could have come up here with me, and you could have been in the woods hunting for shit and doing things, hunting for treasure, for gold, all kinds of things. But it wasn't there for me. It was nice. It was close. But it wasn't there for me. I once fucked a woman up here, honest to God. I crashed the ultralight and landed into a swamp/pond. And she was standing right there. I should have died. I could have got poked in the eye. I've been flying a long time, so I'm pretty good. I could have got poked in the eye by a stick. I could have got impaled by something coming out of a tree. I didn't. None of that shit happened. I had to work on the ultralight. It was broken. But she was standing right there, and I remember fucking her in a building behind the marijuana grow farm that her family has here, a wholesale marijuana grow farm, and I remember fucking her in a building in the back, and I was fucking her, and as I was fucking her, you might not like to hear this. You might have to block your ears. I asked you to put your hands over your ears and start humming if you can't handle this. I actually started crying. I remember crying. I remember banging her. Between fucking strokes as my cock went in, I take in air and start crying as I started pushing, then take in air and start crying more. I was sobbing like a fucking kid who said his birthday was canceled, who said he wasn't going out with his Aunt Marge anymore on his birthday because he was mean or mad or angry somehow, and they cut off the fucking birthday trip with his Aunt Marge when she'd take me to Kresge's and all kinds of other places for cheap-ass gifts. And I mean cheap. Take me to the toy aisle, a fucking fat whore, she'd say, you can have anything between this area and this area. And I was too stupid. I thought, wow, I'm getting something. I'm getting mine. I'm getting something. I started laughing and shit. I mean, she wasn't really my real aunt. My mother got remarried to another man. This was his sister, but she still took me out. But there was differences between blood and family and then some outsider, some fucking fuck out there in the outside, somebody who studies different religious practices or anything like that. And there it is. She said you could have anything between this area and this area. It was just junk, man. It was a 40-cent thing with a piece of plastic over it, and you could do like an Etch-A-Sketch. It was nothing. It was a plastic ring. It wasn't a whole bag of army men. It was three army men in a goddamn bag. It was just all junk. And as I'm standing there wanting more, I'm smelling popcorn, and I'm thinking, surely she's going to smell that popcorn, this old slut, and she's going to say, would you like a bag of popcorn, Norman? Extra butter? This is shit I would do. And she didn't. She didn't ask me nothing like that. The whole thing, I felt like I was fucking walking on crutches. Here I was, the outsider. Wasn't really related to that bitch. I was the outsider, was limping through the goddamn mall to Kresge's, limping mentally, emotionally, in every way, physically, because I knew that I was going to get junk. It's painful, but you go around it. You work around it. And if you've had experiences like that, we now just shared those experiences, and somehow we let the air out of that pain. It's like we went to a fucking air valve on a tire and let it out. We let it out together. Man, we're feeling good, man. Let's go get some pizza at Buscemi's. Yeah. At least the old Buscemi's. So I loaded up the Argo Frontier. I loaded it up and had all my equipment that I previously mentioned. And my idea was to go out there and just see what was going on, see what was happening. Now, I brought my Glock with me. And when I say I brought my Glock with me, they have a kind of, they should be ashamed of themselves calling it a Glock anymore. The gun, when it's connected to a Glock switch, is no longer a Glock. It should have an entirely new name, an entirely new brand, an entirely new model. It's a completely different entity. The Glock, when the switch is added, shoots 1,200 rounds a minute. And I thought, okay, I need practice. If anybody comes on my property, if anybody's in the front yard down the driveway, it's about an eighth of a mile to the paved road. If anybody comes down here, a bunch of people, they want to take me out, a big fucking riot that they're taking out in the middle of nowhere. They've taken it out to the country, out to the fucking way out in the woods. They're sick of big city. They want to really cause shock and awe, and they're fucking scrambling around in my yard. They don't know that they're dealing with a Vietnam vet. And the window opens up, and fucking the Glock switch goes off, man. 1,200 rounds a minute. It's all good, man. It's all good. The bullets come out so fast that they say they're red hot for a distance of 250 yards. I mean, it's an entirely different machine. So I think I'm going to take the Glock switch out. My Glock switch, I call it the GS or the Glock switch. I even call it the switch. I mean, it's just a totally different thing. Maybe I've invented a new thing. Yeah, I've just got a switch. Really great machine, really great, feels good to hand, man, heavy, the weight's just perfect, look at the fucking bonding, look at the rimming they've done, the slots they've done in the barrel, it's incredible, man, I got a switch, so I loaded everything up, and I went out into the woods, and I was going to practice with a switch, I was just going to go out there, and unfortunately, the switch is so powerful that if you aim it at a tree, it will cut the tree in half, it's not a joke, I've done this on a tree that's maybe been 3 and 4 feet in diameter. I've cut it in half, and I've heard the pain of the tree because I know they're alive. I know they communicate through their root system. I hope I didn't take out the mom tree, the tree that keeps other trees alive. They found this to be true. Trees, especially big ones, will actually work to keep another tree alive. It's been cut down. It'll actually grow bark over where the tree was cut down, over the top, and keep it sustained, keep it alive, because the tree no longer has leaves to create photosynthesis for some time. So they work through that time so it can start to develop new branches, new twigs coming out the side of the tree, and leaves appear, and the tree can sort of self-support itself, come back slowly. That's how amazing trees are. Way bigger than you could ever imagine. Way more massive something going on there. And you just walk right past it, man. You walk past it. You're with some chick. She farts. She's filled with gas and shit. She hasn't shit in 3 or 4 goddamn months. The gas is all built up. She walks past it. This is the gift she gives the tree. Boom. That's her can. Boom. As she walks past it, that's what they care about. They care about nothing. They care only about your money, and they care about the image that she projects with the man she's with to her fucking 6-year-old mind friends.
and care less about them. Come on in here. Welcome to fucking Christmas. Merry Christmas, slut. So I'm all loaded up, and I think I'll take the Argo Frontier out to the woods. I'll take out my Glock switch out to the woods, my switch. And I'll just practice in case anything ever happens. Some kind of apocalypse comes. The blacks start hating on the whites way more. They go out further. They got their distributorships, their companies, their troops, whatever it is, their bases out further. Take out people in remote goddamn areas. You're going to read about that next. They'll get on some island and wipe everybody out on the island. That's coming. I can feel it. So I'm out in the woods. I'm out in the woods. I got my Superman cape on. I'm not wearing underwear. I got my leather sandals on that the girl running flaps made me. She's an Apache Indian. Honestly, honest to God, made me these fucking sandals that Indians make. They're 100% authentic. Even the strings to put it together are made from deer hide. And we're not short of deers in the upper northern Michigan, especially in the upper peninsula. So I'm out in the woods. I parked the Argo Frontier. And I see this one particular heavy area of branches and things like that up in the canopy, like a tree had fallen over. So I load up make sure the Glock switch is on. I take off the safety. It's all loaded up. And I think I'm going to give it a try. As I'm swigging down peppermint schnapps that I mix with coffee or hot chocolate, it's incredible if you ever had that. You just absolutely love it. Sometimes I bring Coca-Cola and I premix a Coca-Cola with milk. If you've never had Coca-Cola with milk, you've got a mental issue. Try it. You'll go nuts, and you'll thank me as you're donating for the helpful, handy household tip. So I start firing off. I got my Frontier there. I'm standing there. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling empowered. I just fucked. I got my cum sheets. I never took them out under the bed. The cum sheets there. I got the memory of that fuck there. It's fueling me. It's empowering me. I'm feeling really invigorated. I feel like somebody gave me 3 shots of fucking B12 and then whatever else they gave me. Maybe a tad of fucking adrenaline that they'd put in your heart. Maybe I had a teaspoon of that too. That's how good I'm feeling. I'm feeling connected, plugged in. I hear music in my freaking head. Honest to God, I can hear it whenever I'm really especially doing well. So I start firing. And I cut down a tree that's up in the canopy that's so big, the mess is so thick, it's probably been like that for years when the tree fell. And I cut it down, it fell, there was lots of branch sounds, lots of cracking sounds, lots of sounds that you don't normally hear as there's things are moving and falling. When it falls, all the areas cleared out. When the areas cleared out, I see something that doesn't make sense. I see something maybe 45 feet from where I'm standing, where I just unloaded the Glock. Now, the Glock can get hot. All the fucking shells are down there. I'm thinking, wow, look at that. Look what I've done. Look what I can do. Look at the power that I have here. Behold, I'm looking back out, and I see about 40, 45 feet, and what do I see? Something that doesn't fit. When I walk over to it, carefully, I always like to walk and look around me because I just shot. I don't know what's up there. I don't know what wanted dude's up there. What freaking fruit is up there trying to hide? He can't handle his sexuality. Fruit's walking around. He's up there with a fucking 12-inch Bowie knife, some fucking brass knuckles. I don't know what could be up there. A convict that has escaped. And I've just made a lot of noise. So I always walk around and look like I'm on recon when I was in Vietnam, these search and fucking kill missions. Search and destroy. And I always look around as I'm moving back to whatever I see. I see this thing, this whitish kind of thing. It's white and bizarre looking. It doesn't look like it fits the structure of what I just shot down, the tree structure, all the vertical stuff and the horizontal branch. This doesn't fit. When I come up to it closer, you're going to laugh at this, or you're going to think it's the bizarrest thing you've ever heard, and I think it's the bizarrest thing I've ever seen. There's a skeleton fully intact over this cross-member tree, like a tree. This shit was being hidden by what I just cut down by firing the Glock off randomly. It's been over a tree, and when I come up to it, it's a skeleton. Now, I know it's a skeleton, and I've never seen a skeleton fully intact. They usually fall apart. There's no tendons, the vertebrae, the bones fall off. There's nothing to hold it together anymore, the skeleton. The skeleton is fully intact, and it's bent over a tree. Now, when I look at the skeleton and I examine the pelvic bone, I know it's a woman. You can tell by the pelvic bone, kid and all that, the bigger opening down on the pelvic bone. It's a female, and she's bent over a tree, honest to God. And she's bent over a tree in the way that I like. I mean, I fucked a lot of chicks bent over. I like to bend them over stumps, over fucking 4x4s, over barbecues, over furniture in the backyard. I'll bend them over anything and anywhere. I just like to bend them over that way. You don't have to see their face as it tries to manipulate you, as it tries to con you. You don't have to see the eyes dilate when she goes into the devil mind, when she goes into some other place as they dilate and they want now to take you apart. They want to enter your soul and vacuum your soul out. They become some entity, some other thing. You don't have to see their face when they're bent over. You don't have to see their eyes dilated. You don't have to see spit dripping onto the sides of their mouths or hear them making gurgling sounds that represent or are so fucking similar to the death rattle. I don't want that often. Someone had bent this woman over and they had banged her from the rear and killed her. And then I think, and this person I kind of like. They didn't expect to kill her. She died while she was getting banged out. She died when she was in the fucking throes of pleasure. Someone was banging her from the fucking rear. This is the way your correspondent likes. And that's when it hit me. This might be one of the chicks that I banged down from the rear out here in the fucking woods. They have campouts here all the time. I'm so good looking. I've got such a personality that chicks come to me like a freaking magnet. Did I bang this chick out? Did she die when I left her and said thanks for the memories as I took off of Margo Frontier? Did she die from orgasm pleasure? Did she die being bent over, the blood rushed to her head, something about the arteries in her neck and all that? Is this one of my fucking concubines that I banged down from the rear, bent over a fucking tree? I don't really know. Nobody can ever really know. I can't be the only person that likes to do that. I can't be the only person, can I? We had a very deep sandbox at one of the chicks I banged out. It was her kid's sandbox. The fucking sand was way down below. You had to jump into it. It was like a bear pit. I remember banging the woman out like that as I stood behind her while I was standing in the sandbox on top of two Tonka trucks and a couple plastic shovels in a blue and pink bucket. I banged her out in there. That's a skill I have. But it was stunning to me. I'm sure it wasn't somebody I fucked, it's somebody someone else fucked, and they died that way. I don't really know, they were getting banged from the rear. Try it, you don't have to look at her face. You don't have to see her mouth lock-jawed and opened. You can't see the sweat and the begging as she puts everything she has into this performance while she tries to work you out of your finances. How can she work you out of your finances? You're just looking at the back of her head. The head, the back area that has been laid on so many pillows since she was 14 fucking years old. Yeah, I really did some damage there. She really knows what it is to get fucked by a man now. Keep on telling yourself that, man.
You've been listening to the one and only...
My dick is enormous. There is no escape.
We meet at the big clock. In cyberspace, it's dark out there in cyberspace. It's scary out there in cyberspace. You're out there in cyberspace. You're frozen with fear. You don't know what to do. You're looking up. You're looking down. You're looking to the right. You're looking to the left. It's windy out. You don't know what to do. You're frozen. Till eventually and quite abruptly, you hear this distant chiming clock in the background. And you follow the chiming clock until it gets louder and louder and louder, eventually bringing you upon this brightly illuminated place in cyberspace. There are thousands of people there. They're holding hands. They're smiling. They've been waiting for you. There's that thing that brought you to this place in the first place. It's a tower, 100-150 feet tall, brown bricks, tan mortar. Way at the top of this tower is a glass bezel. It's a clock. It's backlit. And above that is this chimey bell-like thing that brought you to this place in the first place. And you know why you're at this place in the first place. You're here to clear out your pains, your frustrations, your aches, your woes, your disappointments, your hurts. The person that died on you, the ramen noodles you're sick of eating, the credit cards you can't pay off, the apartment you can't pay for, the house you think you'll maybe never own, the bitch who left you, the guy who left you. You're here to clear all those pains and frustrations out. And how do we do that? Well, the moment you heard my voice, you were instantly and automatically filled up with this highly absorbent orange-colored solution. It's been inside your body, sloshing about this entire recording. And now, at the end of this recording, we lie you gently down. We pop the corks in your toes. And all of that highly absorbent orange-colored solution comes gushing out of your body. Look at it. It's forming a small mini lake alongside you. It's orange-colored. It's rusty. It stinks. It's toxic. We shake your feet, getting out the last drops of highly absorbent orange-colored solution and replace the corks in your toes. You can't believe how good you feel. You feel like you can go on another second, another minute, another day, another hour, another year, maybe infinitely. It doesn't matter that a friend of yours is making $250,000 a year and lives in a million-dollar house. It doesn't matter that another friend of yours has got the best-looking bitch you've ever seen, or another friend of yours has the best-looking dude you've ever seen. None of that shit matters. All that matters is how good you feel right now. You know you can feel this good anytime you want to. Anytime you're in duress, anytime you feel like you can't go on another second, all you gotta do is think of the big chiming clock in cyberspace, where you meet your pal, your friend, Norm Augustinus. And instantly, and almost automatically, you'll feel refreshed and clear. You know the best part of this recording, the most important part of this recording, at least to me, is that for 1 hour, we were friends. Friend, I enjoyed myself. I hope you did too. Write me, normaugustinus@gmail.com.
Tune in again for another exciting episode from the amazing mind of Norm Augustinus.
Dear Donna, how are you? I hope this letter finds you happy and well. I think about you often, and I hope that you think about me sometimes too. Donna, the other day I was walking through the parking lot of a Target, and I stumbled across what I thought was an untouched Starbucks extra large drink of white chocolate mocha. Donna, I know what you are thinking. It's not safe to drink a Starbucks drink that you find, even if you're pretty sure that the Starbucks drink has never been touched. Normally, I would never even entertain the idea of drinking something I found. However, Starbucks is a good quality name. I figure some chick clutching onto the extra large mocha got called by a man possessing a big dick. He was ready to cram her, so she went into a sexual hot nipple and buttered box frenzy, and she set her $10 drink down, and she drove her and her bubbling minge to the meat at a high rate of speed. Donna, nothing came out of the straw when I sucked on it, so I removed the lid. Inside the Starbucks extra large cup was a heavily stained pair of women's panties. The cotton ventilated panel had been impaled by something hard and round, and there were pubic hairs of all shapes, sizes, and colors clinging to the inside diameter of the hole that had been gored into the cum panties by a monstrous cock. When I removed the lid, I knew there wasn't a Starbucks mocha drink inside the cup because I was hit by a sudden blast of air originating from inside the cup that smelled heavily of pussy. I guess the odor was coming from the fermenting cum panties that had been packed inside the Starbucks cup. Donna, at least I took a chance. That's all anyone can do. You just never know. I gotta go. I've got shit to do. Write me back if and when you can. Love, Norman. P.S. I bumped into your big-titted little sister. She was washing an M2 World War II tank that is permanently parked in front of the VFW hall off Van Dyke Avenue. When your big-titted little sister saw me, she climbed on top of the World War II tank, and she pulled open the hatch and she climbed inside. When I got to the tank, I climbed inside the tank also. When I climbed down and into the tank, your big-titted little sister was naked, and her legs were pulled back. Your big-titted little sister's knees were touching her ears, and her hairy skunk and asshole were aimed directly at me. Your big-titted little sister was sporting a crooked half-smile as I approached her, so I ate your big-titted little sister out, and I gave her a rim job.
I saw the both of you go inside this tank. Dude, I know you are eating out and rimming that big busted woman. Open this hatch and let me in. I want to be rimmed and eaten out also. Do you hear me? Let me in this tank and rim me now.
A
Attention shoppers, this is Baloney Pony, your rare finds and exotic treasure store manager. Girls, right now at the counter, I'm selling extra large Starbucks cups with the lid attached. Pushed into the tiny hole at the top of the cup is a plastic straw. Inside the Starbucks cup is a pair of women's soiled cum panties that have been jammed into the cup by a powerful 10-ton hydraulic press. For all intents and purposes, the Starbucks cup looks just like it has been filled with 14 ounces of chilled white chocolate mocha. Ladies, you can't drink it because the Starbucks cup is filled with a pair of cum-covered pussy panties with a crotch torn out. But you can throw the Starbucks cup into your backyard. Why? When your boyfriend or husband finds the Starbucks cup, he'll think the cup was dropped out of the window of a passing plane. Your husband or boyfriend will fantasize about the classy, refined, wealthy woman that took a dick in the airplane toilet. And he'll get super turned on, especially when he takes a sniff of the panties. The stench of the pussy mixed with the odor of a high-end perfume is a powerful motivator. Before you know it, your man will be banging you out from the rear as you prune the front yard roses. Come up to the counter right now and get your extra-large Starbucks cup filled with one pair of perfumed, pussy-smelling, cum-stained panties. Cum panties in a cup. It's the way life was supposed to be. Only $39.99. On a side note, my assistant Mandy Phelps has just shit into the 100-gallon saltwater tank located in the store lobby. Our fish tank maintenance man was bent over while he worked on the fish tank, and Miss Phelps was above him standing on a ladder as she cleaned the LED lights designed to illuminate the saltwater tank. Mandy Phelps was imagining herself standing behind the ass of the maintenance man while she was wearing a monstrous strap-on dildo. While she fantasized about impaling his asshole with her strap-on, her own asshole suddenly gave way. 7 pounds of Miss Phelps' raw manure made its way into the 100-gallon tank. Mandy has irritable bowel syndrome.
I can't stop shitting. Please help me. I'll shit into this popcorn bucket and throw it at the bitch standing in front of the jumbo dark chocolate bars. If someone doesn't come to the counter right now and sew my asshole shut.
And she's extremely horny.
I need dick in my hole all the time. Last month I went to a doctor and he surgically inserted a dead man's huge cock into my stretched out fuck hole. I'm better, but I need even more dick. Somebody come up here right now and jam your prick into my fuck hole alongside the dead man's big cock, or I'll pull the pin on this hand grenade.
Is there anyone in the store that can perform mouth-to-mouth resuscitation on a dwarf white whale, an electric eel, or on a blind flapjack octopus? Ladies, if you've got heroin spoons in your purse, please rush them to the 100-gallon saltwater tank located in the lobby and help spoon out Mandy's shit from the tank. This has been Baloney Pony, your rare finds and exotic treasure store manager. That is all.
Fuck! 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 Fuck!
Women are constipated 3 times more than men.
When you're walking down the halls and your balls hit the walls, it's a rupture.